And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Hoss coming to you from Studio 521 in Irvine, California, which is my hotel room.
Some mileage out of that.
That's right. We are getting some mileage out of Studio 521. That is the voice of Jeff Nowak, and the Saints Hour is brought to you by Bullseye Event Group, and we thank them for their participation as we begin another year of the Saints Hour and stepping into Studio 521. Deuce McAllister, hey, do you have an ID? You can't just come in here. So, yeah, Saints wrap up practice 15 today, back to full pads. You could almost feel a little deflation from some that the Niners aren't coming in for Thursday and Friday, but it is what it is. Let's run through a little of the practice rundowns. On the show today as well, we'll be hearing from linebacker Scott Shanley, part of that 2009 Super Bowl team, as well as wide receiver Lance Moore. He was an undrafted free agent in 2005 with the team in 06, and of course, 2009. So we'll hear from some of those veterans who were in camp today for practice 15, Drew Brees, Roman Harper, a few others, just part of a big group text I've heard that. And also, let's see, Alvin Kamara back strain, but really the story of the day, at least for me, I mean, A.T. Perry went with a sprained ankle, was the return. Rashid Shaheed, Equanimeous St. Brown, Bub Means, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Demario Davis, Pete Werner, kind of working off to the side, but at least coming back in some of those fashions, as Deuce said, closer to getting work. Deuce, what do you think? We'll say hello to you and check your mic at the same time.
Yeah, well, definitely hello to you, gentlemen, in Studio 521. You need to work on your security out there.
You mean the door open?
They'll let anybody into the studio, so we want to get that. Make sure we get that secured, because you don't need any
people just wandering in.
Yeah, well, not just people. You know, you might have all kind of action going on.
We could have housekeeping if things are true to form. Here at 5:03 Pacific time, we will have a housekeeper in this room.
No doubt. That's a whole different conversation, right? with Studio 521.
We'll have a separate show. But
right.
Really, the return today of it was a lot of red, a lot of wide receivers coming back and quarterbacks, and then Paulson, Marshawn, DeMario, Pete, working off to the side, but working.
Well, yeah, back to business.
Right.
Back to business, the business side of football. It was good to see, but you still want more. And when I say that, it's because you're starting to get closer to the actual real thing. And, from a dress rehearsal standpoint, some of those guys won't get a chance. Coach Allen was asked about one particular player, Nick Salivari, and he was kind of non-commental about whether Nick would be able to play in the game. Well, if we go back and rewind, this was a young man that was competing for the starting left guard position. He's probably missed too much time to put himself in that situation now, and I think the team is pretty content with Lucas Patrick being that starter at left guard, and the work that he has been getting has been good work. So just from an injury standpoint, he's one player that hadn't been available, and we don't know if we'll see him at all as far as this preseason. The other would be Kendre Miller. I mean, he is one of the players that the first day of, camp didn't even get to go through any team. This was something that happened in individual drills. And, Kendre was pushing to be the number two back. Right now, it's a question mark whether he's your number four back or even on the squad. And that's just the hard reality of it. You would hate to have to put him on injury reserve, but that may be a situation that happens. Maybe he makes the initial 53 and then he reverts to IR from that standpoint instead of having to cut him, directly out. So that's a conversation that the head coach and the position coach, offensive coordinator, and general manager will have. But that's kind of where you are with both of those players, if you're being honest.
Wow.
I mean, that's where you are. I mean, because at some point, roster spots, they become a situation where, hey, this player is available. Maybe we're a little banged up still at position X. We may have to carry an extra person here this week, but we don't want to lose this player for the complete year. So in order for those guys to be eligible to come back from IR, they have to be on your initial 53-man roster. Now, that initial 53-man roster doesn't come official until Tuesday of the game week. So
right.
I said all that because the initial roster, they have to cut down from 90 to 53, you know, on Saturday or Sunday, whatever it is. Well, there's still three or four days that you have to carry that player before you can put him on injured reserve and, you know, be able to have the ability to bring him back.
And just for perspective, I mean, we're talking about a guy who literally did not get into a real practice. Like, he was there for one set of individual drills, and then he went out. We have seen several players miss time with hamstring injuries. Significant time, right? Equanimeous St. Brown was out for more than a week. Rashid Shaheed missed several practices. We're starting to see those guys coming back. We have not really seen Kendre do much at all. So it's like he's not gotten any work in this camp, in a camp that I would argue was very, very important for him.
Well, it's truly important. I mean, because here's a conversation that you have to have and you have to remember. Yes, the scouting department and the head coach drafted him. Tell me how many of those offensive coaches were a part of that. They don't have a relationship with him. You can't tell me I can go back and look at the film and say, man, look at that. You know, look at the power. Look at the speed. Look at the moves. They don't have anything to relate to. And so it's kind of unfair, but that's the truth. That's the NFL. And it's not, well, you know, we know that you're going to be available for three more years or two more years because that's what your contract says. This is a what have you done for me lately league. Look at the situation with 41 right now. I mean, we all know what's going on. And I'm not talking about him being hurt. I'm just talking about the contract situation. Right. And truly, you're in a one-year deal even though there's another year on there. I mean, that's smoke and mirrors. So when you're a young player like that, not to say that you can play through a hamstring injury, but, man, I am doing any and everything I can to get back out on the field, and I think that's probably the most disappointing part of it. But the other injured guys that you did name, to have those guys back out there, DeMario to go through walkthroughs. You talked about the red jersey guys. Marshawn has been out there the last couple of weeks, but this time – he did work with the trainers off to the side, and then he came over and watched. I saw Paulson Adebo out there on the field. I saw Pete Warner out there on the field. Now, I'm sure that they did some work on the inside with the trainers because I didn't see them do work. They may have done it. It's not like we see everything out there in the different acreage of fields that they have as well. They can do some different things in some different areas if they chose to. But some of those guys, like you said, I expect you start to see them get back this week. And it's going to be key that, you know, those guys are healthy. You know, and Alvin had to go in for back tightness. He's had it before. I don't think that's a true concern. The concern comes if he's not available, you know, Thursday or Friday because of this back tightness.
Right. Just getting started here on the Saints Hour. My guest, Jeff Nowak and Deuce McAllister. Take a quick break. When we come back, we will hear from one of those Saints alumni, linebacker Scott Shanley, one of the former Saints who were in town watching practice today. That and more when we come back on the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back, everyone, to Irvine, California. The Saints here for training camp this week, pretty as scheduled, except for the fact that on Thursday and Friday, the Niners were supposed to come in. Certainly injuries in their opening game, and really before that, they were kind of nicked up like the Saints, but you know, had a knee injury, broken forearm, so they are not coming in. But everything else will be pretty much the same. And Jeff, this is one of the things that Dennis talked about today, was that you got the officials coming in. They were coming in Thursday, Friday. You pushed them back to make it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And you could even see it today. It just felt like, let's try to get as much game simulation in as possible. And, you know, just by the penalties on Saturday in Arizona and a lot of other things, miscommunication, you just got to get as much of that game work as you can.
Yeah, I think it's going to, you know, I think they kind of want to inject some energy into the next couple of days. I think it's really easy to get flat at this point.
Because they were all gearing up for
yes,
San Francisco.
I think that everyone was kind of, a lot of the scheduling, a lot of the planning, I think, was geared toward that. And now you kind of have to revert. You know, we were going to have Bobby Hebert out there, and then we had to change course because it's just, you know, these are just more of the same practices. But I do think you do want to ramp up a little bit. You do want to get that kind of competitive energy, and, you know, you're going to have to see that in the preseason game. But, no, I'd like to see some energy over the next few days. And maybe the officials can help. Maybe he can because I think
it
there's –
It does feel more
– It feels more competitive,
seems minor,
right?
But it does.
Yeah, I think it does.
And you don't have Coach Rizzi coming out there going, hold on, that's offensive holding.
Yeah.
Deuce, this is kind of a difficult question because I think the whole team probably suffers by not practicing with the Niners. But is there a position, a player, maybe it's the twos and threes, who suffers the most, broadly speaking, by not having San Francisco here?
Well, there's no suffering. I mean, there's no suffering from that standpoint. You just don't get to work against another team. I still get to practice against another guy. Now, here's the interesting things that could happen. You're in the NFL, correct? We saw today a lot of the college scouts are in town. And just like those officials, a lot of the scouts for this team were coming in to not only scout their guys, but to scout the other team. So you get a better look at the other personnel, how they run their practice, how this player practices, you know, how this player does in this drill. That player may be a free agent in 3 years, but I got to see it with my own eyes. You don't get to do that unless that player is in college. So that's what, from a scouting and a coaching standpoint, you miss out. Here's the other part of it as well. I get it all on film. Now you don't get that. You don't get that. And so, player, yes, I get a little extra juice because it's a different opponent instead of the same guy that I've been going against since April. But outside of that, it's really no different. I mean, because the periods were not going to be any longer. It's still the same 2.5 hours of work. You weren't wearing a different uniform. You know, maybe they had put you had to go to a different field just because it was so many people out there. But, I mean, none of that really changes because at the end of the day, whether you practice great against them or whether you didn't practice great against them, most of the guys were going to play on Sunday. Now, that part changes.
I was going to say, you talk about that today.
That part changes because now the assumption was you get 2 good days of work, of practice against this San Francisco 49ers defense, 7-on-7, 1-on-1s, 9-on-7, and team. Now all of that is out the door. How can I get that simulation that I was going to get? You can't. The only other way is the game. And so that's why I would lean heavy into the starters participating in this game where originally they were not going to participate. Now what that number is, I don't know. We'll probably have to wait.
Goes, right?
Yeah, we'll have to see how the week goes. I mean, and that's just being honest.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just saying like a guy like DeMario, hey, DeMario, I normally wouldn't play you, but if you feel okay, you may get a series. Because if he doesn't play, he may not play all preseason.
You really think so, they'll put DeMario in there?
Well, I'm just saying. For him, he may want a series.
Yeah, I guess if he wants it.
He may want a series. You know, it's not like he's dying to go out there and play, but I'm just saying he may want a series with the guys.
A little bit,
with the guys. And you wouldn't do it the week three.
I think that's what a lot of people misunderstand about the preseason is so much of it is just about is kind of gearing back in, right? Remember, like reminding yourself what it's like to hit, to be hit. It's not about installing offense so much as people think. Like when you watch, well, the first team offense struggled. Sure, there's execution errors that you need to clean up, but it's not because the scheme didn't work. You didn't see the scheme.
Well, and you saw the scheme.
Well,
I would disagree with a lot of it there because here's my issue with it. Here's my issue. If we're going to be the vanilla, then you should be perfect.
Right. No, I agree with that.
If you're going to be vanilla, there's no reason for you to have multiple MAs and Mrs. Simons. So if you're going to be vanilla, there's no reason for you to have multiple Mrs. Simons. And they had multiple.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, you're not seeing the nuance of, like, oh, well, we're trying to attack this concept, or we're using this. You know, you're not showing it.
The issues are in execution. Correct. So my problem is more so with execution because it's green. It's simple. It's the simplest of offense that you have, and you're making mistakes on that. So when you get into more complex stuff, you're probably going to have the same mistakes. And so that's my issue with, you didn't see anything, or it's vanilla. Well, the vanilla offense, you've got to execute. If you can't execute vanilla, then how are you going to, you know, what's a swirl of combination of, you know.
Yeah, we're not getting to 26 flavors.
I mean, and so if the rainbow flavor, if I can't execute vanilla, how can I expect you to be able to dial it up with the rainbow flavors?
Now I want yogurt. Now I want frozen yogurt.
Yeah, you got to get more than yogurt. I mean, yogurt don't have a...
I want soft
two flavors.
I want soft toast.
But I mean, so that's from a scouting perspective, from a player's perspective, and then because most of those guys know week three, you may get a series, but the majority of them aren't going to get that. It's going to literally be, I want to pinpoint player 41. And give player 41 a chance to make this team. If player 41 can't make this team, let's showcase him to somebody else that he gets a chance to make the NFL. Because player 41, I may have, and I'm just throwing this out there, I may have too many defensive ends. You're not going to make my team as a defensive end. But you can maybe make somebody else's team as a defensive end. Now, I can tell you some bad stuff that happens as well. The bad stuff? Maybe a young man that can play. He didn't get the reps. That happens. This young man can play in the NFL, but he doesn't get the reps.
Why?
I like him, and I don't want anybody else to like him.
Okay.
Like a Rashid Shaheed situation.
Shaheed, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right. Well, it happens. I mean, so yeah, we'll find out a lot more at the end of this week. And then, of course, Saturday against the San Francisco 49ers. Let's do this. Let's take a break. And I know I teased Scott Shanley, but we'll come back and we'll do Scott Shanley on the other side of this break. Just one of many, many former New Orleans Saints that were at practice today. Drew Brees, Roman Harper, Lance Moore, and we'll hear from one of them, Scott Shanley, when we come back. This is the Saints Hour from Irvine, California, Studio 521. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, and Deuce McAllister here from Irvine, California. Saints wrapping up practice today, 15 after arriving here in Irvine on July 24th. A lot of the kind of the old school members, Drew Brees, Roman Harper, Scott Shanley, Lance Moore here. Scott Shanley, originally drafted by the L.A. Rams, played with Dallas, and then signed by the Saints in 2006, and he arrived from Oxnard, California, not far from here, where he was practicing with the Cowboys, and then went to Jackson, Mississippi, where we'll talk to Deuce about that in a minute. But I spoke with Scott Shanley this afternoon. Let's hear from Scott and why he's around and why he's here to look at the Saints.
I guess just essentially give me a – did was this always the plan to come out here this week and just kind of visit with the team? Tell me about kind of why you're here in California.
Yeah, just for your view, we're doing our pregame special, our last week of preseason here, and we're kind of anticipating the 49ers, you know, inter-squad scrimmage that didn't work out, but it's still the last week of camp. So we're just trying to tie up things, look at some of the competitions going on depth chart-wise, scheme-wise, and just kind of evaluating where the team is this week.
Is it hard not to, as a former player and a linebacker, to focus on your position when you're out here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. No matter where I walk around the field, my eyes always find those 50 numbers, and I'm always seeing what those linebackers are doing, whether it's one-on-ones against the running backs and blitz drills and things like that. So, yeah, my eyes always go to linebackers just because that's kind of home. I know what I'm watching, and I actually know what I can help give feedback to. And then you go from there, you go to the defense, and then go over to the offense where I know less about. But I thought the team looked good today. And just getting – out here and seeing it, it's different than seeing it on video, whether you're watching on TV or, you know, obviously listening to people talk about it. Just seeing the energy level the guys have and how they interact with one another.
And only because it drives me nuts not all linebackers have 50s anymore.
Yeah, I know.
They wear six. Willie Gay, right now, even from the game and practices, the first few, he's just there. He's just you see his speed, you see his athleticism.
Yeah, he's versatile. There's no doubt about it. When they signed him in the offseason, I think the number one word they used to describe him was versatility, and then speed. He's got a lot of athleticism, and when you can be that type of athlete, this game really is not a base defense anymore, where you're facing a fullback and you're running the ball right at people anymore. You need to have athletic linebackers who can play in space. So between him, DeMario, and Pete, getting those three guys on the field at one time, they can cover any running back or tight end in the league. So it's good to have those type of athletes.
You and I talked earlier, so I know where you're going with this, but when you got signed in 06, you were coming from Oxnard and the Cowboys, who were training camp in California, and you went to Jackson, Mississippi. Just tell me what that picture was like when you got there, because it's a different atmosphere when you're in California.
It really is. I saw some of the Saints staff who had been here, the entire camp since July, and I got here kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and everybody had that look on their face like a thousand-yard stare, like, what are you so happy about? We're ready to go home. But the weather out here is number one. That's the number one thing everybody talks about. Players talk about it, coaches, staff, everybody. It is hard to beat this weather, which means you can get a lot of good work in. And, I remember when we were at the Cowboys, like you said, we went to Oxnard, and the training camps seemed like they were very productive from a physical standpoint because guys weren't getting wear down. Now, there's something to be said about practicing at home in the humidity, in that grind, because you find out a little bit about your mental makeup at a team, mental toughness, and those type of elements.
For fans watching and listening, tell us about what you're kind of doing. What keeps you busy, day to day?
Yeah, being a dad keeps me busy.
That's a full-time job, baby. Boys, pay's not great, but yeah.
Boys who play football, helping coach football. The kids are getting too old too fast, but my oldest is going to Oklahoma. He's in Norman, Oklahoma, and my other one's playing running back in high school. So I'm a nervous coaching dad. I'm watching him get hit all the time. I'd much rather him be a defensive player. So, but helping coach football and giving back to the game, this game has given me so much. Allowed me to have a college education, play 10 years, make a living. And I feel like I owe a lot to the game and try to get back to the game any way I can, no matter what age the kids are.
Good to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
There's former Saints linebacker Scott Chandley, and I was not there, thankfully, but I've heard more former players speak of the 06 camp in Jackson as being the most difficult to endure, right? What? You're the only guy in the room that can answer that question.
I thought I was going to meet the devil every day. I mean, and that's
and it was two-a-days.
Oh, true two-a-days.
Right, real.
And sometimes three-a-days where you would go in there and you would put on a cap and walk in the gym. Like, what are we doing? And now they have to do some of that now. But, I mean, like, literally, it was so hot. And it seemed like there was no rain in sight. And you remember it was like 7 out of 10 days D.A. had them in pads.
Yeah.
Every day you were in pads. Every day. Morning session may be shoulder pads, but you had pads on. I mean, and so the second pad practice was the padded practice as well, and you just changed fields. You went from the lower field to the upper field, and it was just so hot. No rain in sight. If it did rain, it would be after we were done.
So that's it. Just what struck me we have the interview with Lance Moore coming up later in the show, but I just talked to him afterwards, and we were talking about Jackson. He goes, that's 2006, right? It was 18 years. So, and he goes, dude, it rained every other day, but it never canceled or impacted practice. And I go, now that's a memory. That's how you know you remember the Jackson game, when you know it rained a lot, but
you
did
didn't even
not
get to enjoy it.
You never got to enjoy it, right. And if it was like, oh, it'll be done by the time, you're out there. And I mean, even though you've got two practices, no rain canceled practice completely. I mean, and it was amazing, that part of it, but it was just so hot. And I was in camp. I've been in camp in New Orleans. I've been in camp at Thibodeau, and none of them matched the heat of Jackson.
Whew. It was tough times, but he's going through a lot with, like you are, with your boys, and he's coaching and traveling, I think that 06 team and that whole culture, Drew and Roman and all those guys, I mean, they're just character people, right?
Good group of guys. None that really at that time had their eyes set on, oh, I'm a all pro or I'm a Hall of Fame player. At that point, Drew was trying to prove that he belonged. The only one, Reggie comes in and he's trying to prove that, you know, he's worthy right. of the praise and, you know, the pick. Myself, I was coming off of ACL injury and I was trying to prove that I could get to the playoffs. My previous 5 years in the NFL, I had not gotten to the playoffs. You know, you look at Scott Fujita, it's like he can't even start with the team that he's with. You know, why are we bringing him? Hollis Thomas. Hollis was a throw-in pick almost with Philadelphia Eagles. You know, he was a player that they didn't even want. He comes in and he plays huge for us. So there are a number of players like that. It's just like you put the collection together. Marcus Colston. Marcus went to Hofstra. Right. You know,
he was a tight end.
Thank you. And you mean
know
to tell me
Hofstra is?
Yeah, he went to Hofstra and he's a tight end and he's going to be our receiver, our starting receiver. Think about that.
Yeah. No. And Lance Moore, undrafted free agent out of Toledo in 2005.
Well, Lance had been there. Lance was with us.
Right.
Lance was with us in 2005.
Right.
But I mean, it wasn't like Lance had 1,000 yards.
No, heck no.
I mean, but he worked and he carved out a spot.
Let's do this. Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints Hour will continue after this. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak. We'll talk a little bit about San Francisco, look back a little bit at Arizona, and we'll also hear from the man we just talked about, former wide receiver Lance Moore. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to Irvine, California, where the Saints will be really finishing up this week. They'll start sending stuff back to New Orleans. They'll ship some stuff to San Francisco and Santa Clara for the game on Sunday, and that'll be it. They will come back to New Orleans after the game on Sunday. So Monday is kind of a day off for them. Then the practice, of course, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at Tulane and Yulman Stadium. And then on Friday, they will have the practice at the Caesars Superdome. That's a 1 o'clock practice on Friday, open to the public, and then on Sunday, same time, game with Tennessee. Jeff, haven't had a chance. We've been focused a lot on the practice today, and they did practice briefly on Sunday. Now that it's been a couple of days, is there any different takeaway that you took from Arizona? You had the most wonderful interview with Charlie Smith afterwards. Just from a team standpoint, is there things that you went, ah, man, and you could go back and look at tape or look at the stats that jumps out at you?
I mean, I think the takeaways are the ones that you had going in. Like we talked about, Deuce, like the execution wasn't good enough. You know, and you saw that on film. Like you saw mistakes. A lot of it came down to blocking on the edges. You just didn't do it well enough. But I think there's reason to be, you know, maybe ramp up the concern level around the offensive line a little bit. I mean, it's the first preseason game. You don't expect people to be peaking in the first preseason game. If you don't see some steps forward from Trevor Penning specifically in this 49ers game, like I'd like to see him kind of go back to that game and figure out what went wrong. It just seems like a lot of the time you see him work on stuff in practice, you see the technique work, and then it's like he gets in the game and it just kind of goes blank. You know, it's like A.T. Perry, it feels like, is an example of someone who you might not see it in practice. Then you get into the game and he kind of flips a switch, and it kind of feels like it goes the other way for Trevor. And I don't know, I just need to see him own that position and look confident. And I think that's been my concern, and it's what you kind of see on tape, is you just don't see a confident player. And, you know, that's obviously what you were worried about going in, is how would he take to that right tackle position. So it's going to be something they have to figure out. And I don't think you're not quitting on him. You're not saying, oh, like, you know, I've heard a lot of people just jump over a fence. Oh, we've got to do something. I think you got to give him time to figure it out. But I think that clock is ticking. And I think that game really kind of started that clock a little bit more so than maybe what we've seen in practice. That was my biggest takeaway.
Deuce, 9 penalties, 63 yards on Saturday. I mean, you almost expect that in a preseason, especially a team that is, you know, with a lot more movement offensively. Is that the, you know, as you talked about, you got to get that cleaned up this week with the officials and just, you know, that kind of discipline?
Yeah, I think it's more of a discipline issue more so than particularly pre-snap penalties. That's a discipline. I mean, we can always argue holding or some of the other tic-tac things, but, you know, for offsides or, you know, false start, not lining up correctly, that's stuff you can fix without the officials. But it helps to have them here Because if I'm not getting up on the line all the way, then I want you to tell me. If I'm crowding it too much, then I want you to tell me. So that number probably should be five or less from a penalty standpoint. And the other thing is, and I can't knock it, but, hey, it is what it is. When you've got injuries and you're still playing with 90 players, there are going to be some issues. Guys, hey, who's in, who's out?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be in this. Well, coach, I've never played that position. All right, well, go ahead. It doesn't matter. I've only practiced it, you know, a couple times. Well, now you're going to play this position. And so little things like that, yes, I get. Things are going to happen. But from a player's standpoint, you want to be available. You want to put your name out there. So, I mean, because you're not just playing for the Saints. You're playing for the other 31, too. You know, it's because every team watches the film because they're searching for players as well.
Yeah, and it's almost amazing. It hasn't been that long, but, you know, they'd go 90, 85, 80, or even they'd have – used to cut it down even bigger than
yeah.
that. It's almost like, how in the world did they get through with having those kind of cuts so they keep it at 90? Again, we talked about
– Well, here's something just because you just said that. The good teams, particularly if they're not hurt at certain positions, after week two, after this game – if I know that you don't have a legitimate shot of making it, I'll go ahead and let you go. Now, if I don't have the depth,
right,
and I really think that you can help us, maybe not as a 53 guy, but as a, you know, practice squad guy, then I'm going to keep you. But there may be 8 to 10 players that they let go after the game, and it's because they know that those players don't have a legitimate chance of making this roster. Based off of not only because that position is not hurt, but they're just too far down the depth chart. You know, if you're we'll use linemen because they have a bunch of them, or just linemen from standpoint. If you're the 12th lineman, I know I'm probably not going to keep you, even if I keep 9 guys on my regular, you know, 53-man roster, and I keep 2 more guys from a development standpoint. If you're the 12th guy, I'm going to go ahead and let you go to see if you can get on with somebody else while they still have another preseason game. And I would respect a coach and a general manager more than keeping me all the way through. And you know I don't
just
have a shot. I'm just a body. Yeah, I'm just a body. Yep. At least if you know, hey, look, just be straight up with me. I'm not going to make your squad. I don't really have a chance at making your practice squad after this game. I would rather you let me go and see if I can get into somebody else's camp, even if I'm just a body over there, but I can at least make their practice squad.
You know, this is kind of off topic, but one of the things that, you know, when they changed the cutdown rules, I've felt this for a couple of years now, one of the position that benefited the most from that is your backup kickers, right? Because in the past, though, you cut down to 80, who are your first cuts going to be? A lot of times it's going to be that camp leg that you brought in, and now, and we saw that last year, like, I don't know if you're able to bring a kicker and punter battle down to the wire in training camp unless you're able to keep them on the roster, and we saw that play out last year. And so like a guy like Matt Hayball, right, I think that benefits him to, even if he's not going to be your punter, to get that work in camp. He's going to get those reps. I just think that's interesting. As you look around the league, I think you'll see more kicker battles in general now than you might have seen kind of go down to the wire, because you don't have to cut those guys.
Well, you don't have to cut them, and here's the other part of it as well. If I really like him, I may release him, and if I put him on my practice squad,
yeah,
then he still gets to kick. He
right.
still gets to come in and kick. I still get to watch him. You know, maybe it's his release that's a little slow. Maybe it's his drop or something that I can watch and work with him. Now, my current punter or kicker may not like it, but, hey, that's the nature of the beast.
Right.
Take a break. When we come back, we will hear from former Saint wide receiver Lance Moore. This is the Saints Hour, coming to you from Irvine, California. Mike Austin, McAllister, and Jeff Nowak back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Studio 521 here in Irvine, California. Mike Austin, McAllister, and Jeff Nowak. And practice 15 today, wrapping up full pads, and they'll go all the way through Friday before leaving on Saturday for Santa Clara. A lot of the old schoolers and a lot of former alumni here today, including Saints former Saints wide receiver Lance Moore, went to Toledo, was a 2005 undrafted free agent. Spoke with Lance this afternoon about being at camp today.
Saw Scott Chandler as well. It's like old home weekend. Are you doing, for us old guys anyway, you know, you doing game research? What brings you here?
Well, so we have a group chat. There's like 11 or 12 of us on this group chat from the Super Bowl team, and we talk every single day. And usually we're joking and clowning around on there, but we thought, okay, Saints are going to be in Southern California. There's a couple of us out here on the West Coast. Like, let's organize something so that we can all kind of get together and hang out for a day or so and you know, watch practice. And we were supposed to watch Saints versus 49ers today.
Didn't so we're weak.
Yeah, didn't work out, but it's all good. I mean, it's still good to come back and you know, be around football for sure, but to also be around a lot of the people that we've known for a long time and mean a lot to us.
That Super Bowl bond, in 20 years from now, you still have that 09 season. This is the first of two questions. I want to talk about that first, that 09 season, because you it's a ring that you always have and a bond that you'll always have.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I mean, if people ask me about the Super Bowl team, the season and all that, and, you know, did you guys expect to win? And I said, in 08, I believe we were 8-8. And we had a decent team, and we thought that we were going to be good in 09, but I don't know that we truly actually believed it until into that year. Once we got going, and we just were like, okay, we're going to win this whole thing. And, you know, sometimes that it's like that. I mean, there's a very few team or very few number of teams that start out the year with realistic Super Bowl expectations. I don't know that we were that team in 08, but after 09, you bet we were the rest of the time there for sure.
Now, I say that bond of 09 because to me, and I'm older, but that bond begins in 06. And that season, to me, if you ask people, they'll say, oh, yeah, beat Atlanta to start. No. You went to Green Bay and Cleveland, played kind of average football in Cleveland, but still won, which Saints fans are like, well, we don't play average and win on the road. Right. Go to Green Bay, fall way behind. Yep. Huge comeback. So you're 2-0. And that season, I feel that Chicago game was there for the taking. And I do believe you beat the Colts in Peyton. That 06 team and that bond because of Katrina is almost unbreakable.
Yeah, well, and I think it even started like Millsaps College, like that training camp in 06. It wasn't just the 06 season. It was like, we are going to put this work in, and it's going to be so tough that the players are literally only going to be able to rely on one another, because you're going to hate the coaches, you're going to hate the front office, you're going to hate everybody because of how hard it was. And that definitely strengthened our bond. And then obviously into that season, that's what springboarded us to success that year, was how hard that camp was and how much we all had to rely on one another just to get through it.
It's Jackson, right?
I mean, Jackson, Mississippi. Right. I mean, it was hot. Two-a-days basically every single day. We were in pads. I mean, it was like, and it would rain every day, but we never got rained out of practice. It was incredible. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, that created, or that started, the bond that really would eventually springboard us on to winning the Super Bowl in 2009.
And finally, What keeps you busy? What is Lance doing? I know parents asked Scott the same question, because I'm a dad. I go, wow, it's a full-time job right in there.
Yeah, well, so I'm a dad, but I'm also a certified agent. So I've got two rookies now, one in Seattle, one in Houston, and we're off and already recruiting for our 2025 class now. And I love it. Like, you know, the last 8.5 years, I've tried to figure out what was next and dabbled in media and scouting and a little bit in the coaching side, and just didn't love any of it. But needed to find a way that I could use my expertise and give back and still be associated with football in some way. And this has kind of been the best of all those worlds together, and really, really enjoy the getting to know the guys and then somewhat kind of becoming a mentor to them and just trying to help them, you know, better navigate their careers.
Good luck.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Super good guy, Lance Moore, Scott Chandler. And Scott talked about this. He goes, you know, California's great, but you learn about the character of a guy. You get back in that heat and that humidity. And so it's got to be a fine line, right, from a coaching standpoint. You want that,
right? You want that.
Oh, it's coming.
But you don't want
Metairie coming.
I know.
And you're going to find out real
too
quick.
Late at night.
Well, not even the night stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be some practices in the sun.
Yeah.
He won't take them inside. And I'm going to find out real quick, you know, who's meant for it and who's going to break.
Right.
I mean, because at some point, I got to know I can depend on him. I got to know that the elements aren't going to break you down. And this year, you're going to have some cold weather games. And, you know, Tampa always, regardless of when the game, it always finds a way to be hot. And so from a mental standpoint, who's going to be with me and who's going to break?
Yet the fine line is don't break him in camp, right?
Well, you try not to break him in camp. Sometimes the elements are the elements, and you deal with it. But I
do have to challenge one thing. January 5th, I do not expect Tampa to be hot.
Man, Tampa find a way. Tampa find a way to be hot every year you go down there.
New Year's Day.
I mean, it finds a way to be hot every year go down there. It finds a way to be hot. I mean, it may not be the 105, but I
at
mean,
least it's not September.
Yeah, we're gonna get 85. You know, and it's like it's January. What's going on? This is Florida.
Right.
That's what, for some reason, we're gonna get it.
Jeff, thoughts for end of this week? Do you have your map of 53? And is it pretty set, or is it?
Oh, it's still changing. It's still changing. You know, the A.T. Perry injury throws some things into flux. Hopefully, that's nothing significant.
Because he walked off on his own, so hopefully that.
Yeah, but you never know. Ankles are tough. Like we've seen that time after time after time. And if I think that he, you know, that's the position that I have some questions about in terms of where do you look at wide receiver? How many do you keep? You know, past the top three, which I would say the top three are Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Cedric Wilson. I mean, I think it's pretty wide open still. Equanimeous St. Brown is an interesting guy, but he's been out with an injury. Bub Means, a rookie draft pick. I was really intrigued to watch him. He's been out with an injury, so. You know, that's the position to me that I think over the next couple weeks we're going to learn a lot about.
Do you have your 53, Deuce? I know you were kind of – I saw you were working out on paper a little bit. I mean, do you have the 53 in your head?
I normally go with 56 or 58. You have to play the game like they play it.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, because if you go with 53, it's going to be based off of – and they won't tell you, but it's true. Week one is not probably your normal roster. It's based off of who's healthy and who's not healthy.
You're keeping guys that you're going to eventually try to revert to IR.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's 53, but it's really 56,
like
57.
Jeff Coat would be a good example. I think he's a guy that if you were going to put him on IR and you thought he was done for the year, you would have done it already.
You would have done it already.
And if you weren't planning on wanting to keep him around, you would have moved on.
Correct. So, and so he's a young man, a prime example.
Yeah.
He will make your initial 53, and then he will go to injury reserve.
Right.
So another veteran may end up getting cut initially, but then you look around Wednesday morning, he's at practice.
I always look at the fullback.
Wait, who? Adam Prentice.
Yeah.
You know,
like
Adam's the only
Adam,
one.
You're like, you're going to stay. Just hang out.
Yeah, don't go home, Adam. You're released on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or you're released, whatever it is. So you pack it up, and I'm going home, and no, you're back. Where are you going? And so when you've got a veteran like that, that you know that won't go and sign with another team, he's in your plans. But right now I have to release him because, you know, there's three or four guys that I like, but I can't cut them because I can't put them on IR. That's where it kind of falls in. So he's originally your 53, but he's technically not.
And we'll close with this. And Xander Horvath, one of the fullbacks, was waived, and they signed Caleb Ford Dement, I believe that's how I say it. They both were number 40. And so you talk about the journey. He went to Kilgore College, Old Dominion, Washington State,
yep.
Texas State, and then spent the offseason with the New England Patriots. So, I mean,
it's quite a lineup.
That's a lineup. There's a guy fighting for his job, and they will fight for those jobs for the rest of this week. Preseason game number two. My thanks, of course, to Charlie Long in the booth, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak, Scott Shanley for helping us out, as well as Lance Moore. Sunday, 7 o'clock kickoff. Our coverage begins at 3 o'clock. Countdown to kickoff begins at 5 o'clock. Thanks for listening to The Saints Hour. Mike Costin, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak from Studio 521 in Irvine, California for the last time this year. We will see you on Sunday from Santa Clara. Thanks for listening, everyone. Welcome back. Studio 521 here in Irvine, California. Mike Hostus, McAllister, and Jeff Nowak. And practice 15 today. We're wrapping up full pads, and they'll go all the way through Friday before leaving on Saturday for Santa Clara. A lot of the old schoolers and a lot of former alumni here today, including former Saints wide receiver Lance Moore, went to Toledo, was a 2005 undrafted free agent. Spoke with Lance this afternoon about being at camp today.
Saw Scott Chandler as well. It's like old home weekend. Are you doing, for us old guys anyway, you doing game research? What brings you here?
Well, so we have a group chat. There's like 11 or 12 of us on this group chat from the Super Bowl team, and we talk every single day. And usually we're joking and clowning around on there, but we thought, okay, Saints are going to be in Southern California. There's a couple of us out here on the West Coast. Like, let's organize something so that we can all kind of get together and hang out for a day or so and you know, watch practice. And we were supposed to watch Saints versus 49ers today.
So were we.
Yeah, didn't work out, but it's all good. I mean, it's still good to come back and you know, be around football for sure, but to also be around a lot of the people that we've known for a long time and mean a lot to us.
That Super Bowl bond, in 20 years from now, you still have that 09 season. This is the first of two questions. I want to talk about that first, that 09 season, because you it's a ring that you always have and a bond that you'll always have.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, if people ask me about the Super Bowl team, the season and all that, and you know, did you guys expect to win? And I said, in 08, I believe we were 8-8. And we had a decent team, and we thought that we were going to be good in 09, but I don't know that we truly actually believed it until into that year. Once we got going, and we just were like, okay, we're going to win this whole thing. And, you know, sometimes that it's like that. I mean, there's a very few number of teams that start out the year with realistic Super Bowl expectations. I don't know that we were that team in 08, but after 09, you bet we were the rest of the time there for sure.
Now, I say that bond of 09 because to me, and I'm older, but that bond begins in 06. And that season, to me, if you ask people, they'll say, oh, yeah, beat Atlanta to start. No. You went to Green Bay and played kind of average football in Cleveland, yep, but still won, which Saints fans are like, well, we don't play average and win on the road. Right. Go to Green Bay, fall way behind. Yep. Huge comeback. So you're 2-0. And that season, I feel that Chicago game was there for the taking. And I do believe you beat the Colts in Peyton. That 06 team and that bond because of Katrina is almost unbreakable.
Yeah, well, and I think it even started like Millsaps College, like that training camp in 06. It wasn't just the 06 season. It was like, we are going to put this work in, and it's going to be so tough that the players are literally only going to be able to rely on one another, because you're going to hate the coaches, you're going to hate the front office, you're going to hate everybody because of how hard it was. And that definitely strengthened our bond. And then obviously into that season, that's what springboarded us to success that year, was how hard that camp was and how much we all had to rely on one another just to get through it.
It's Jackson, right?
I mean, Jackson, Mississippi. Right. I mean, it was hot. Two-a-days basically every single day. We were in pads. I mean, it was like, and it would rain every day, but we never got rained out of practice. It was incredible. It was the weirdest thing. But yeah, that created or that started the bond that really would eventually springboard us on to winning the Super Bowl in 2009.
And finally, What keeps you busy? What is Lance doing? I know parents, I asked Scott the same question, because I'm a dad. I go, well, it's a full-time job right in there.
Yeah, well, so I'm a dad, but I'm also a certified agent. So I've got two rookies now, one in Seattle, one in Houston, and we're off and already recruiting for our 2025 class now. And I love it. Like, you know, the last 8.5 years, I've tried to figure out what was next and dabbled in media and scouting and a little bit in the coaching side, and just didn't love any of it. But needed to find a way that I could use my expertise and give back and still be associated with football in some way. And this has kind of been the best of all those worlds together, and really, really enjoy the getting to know the guys and then somewhat kind of becoming a mentor to them and just trying to help them, you know, better navigate their careers.
good luck.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Super good guy, Lance Moore, Scott Chanley. And Deuce, Scott talked about this. He goes, California's great, but you learn about the character of a guy. You get back in that heat and that humidity. And so it's got to be a fine line, right, from a coaching standpoint. You want that. Right, you want that.
Oh, it's coming.
But you don't want 4 weeks of it.
Metery coming.
I know.
And you're going to find out real
too
quick.
Late at night.
Well, not even the night stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be some practices in the sun.
Yeah.
He won't take them inside. And I'm going to find out real quick, who's meant for it and who's going to break.
Right.
I mean, because at some point, I got to know I can depend on him. I got to know that the elements aren't going to break you down. And this year, you're going to have some cold weather games. And, Tampa always, regardless of when the game, it always finds a way to be hot. And so from a mental standpoint, who's going to be with me and who's going to break?
Yet the fine line is don't break him in camp, right?
Well, you try not to break him in camp. Sometimes the elements are the elements, and you deal with it. But I mean,
have to challenge one thing. January 5th, I do not expect Tampa to be hot.
Man, Tampa find a way. Tampa find a way to be hot every year you go down there.
New Year's Day.
It finds a way to be hot every year go down there. It finds a way to be hot. I mean, it may not be the 105, but I mean,
at least it's not September.
Yeah, we're gonna get 85. And it's like it's January. What's going on? This is Florida.
Right.
That's what, for some reason, we're gonna get it.
Jeff, thoughts for end of this week? Do you have your map of 53? It is a pretty set, or is it?
It's still changing. It's still changing. You know, the A.T. Perry injury throws some things into flux. Hopefully, that's nothing significant.
He walked off on his own, so hopefully that.
Yeah, but you never know. Ankles are tough. Like we've seen that time after time after time. That's the position that I have some questions about in terms of where do you look at wide receiver? How many do you keep? Past the top three, which I would say the top three are Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and Cedric Wilson. I think it's pretty wide open still. Equanimeous St. Brown is an interesting guy, but he's been out with an injury. Bub Means, a rookie draft pick. I was really intrigued to watch him. He's been out with an injury, so. That's the position of me that I think over the next couple of weeks we're going to learn a lot about.
Do you have your 53, Deuce? I know you were kind of – I saw you were working that on paper a little bit. I mean, do you have the 53 in your head?
I normally go with 56 or 58. You have to play the game like they play it.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, because if you go with 53, it's going to be based off of – and they won't tell you, but it's true. Week one is not probably your normal roster. It's based off of who's healthy and who's not healthy.
You're keeping guys that you're going to eventually try to revert to IR.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So it's 53, but it's really 56,
like
57.
Jeff Coat would be a good example. I think he's a guy that if you were going to put him on IR and you thought he was done for the year, you would have done it already.
You would have done it already.
And if you weren't planning on wanting to keep him around, you would have moved on.
Correct. So, and so he's a young man, a prime example.
Yeah.
He will make your initial 53, and then he will go to injury reserve.
Right.
So another veteran may end up getting cut initially, but then you look around Wednesday morning, he's at practice.
I always look at the fullback.
Wait, who? Adam Prentice.
Yeah.
Adam's
like,
the only
Adam,
one.
You're like, you're going to stay. Just hang out.
Yeah, don't go home, Adam. You're released on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or you're released whatever it is. So you – pack it up, and I'm going home. And no, you're back. Where are you going? And so, when you've got a veteran like that, that you know that won't go and sign with another team, he's in your plans. But right now, I have to release him because there's three or four guys that I like, but I can't cut them because I can't put them on IR. That's where it kind of falls in. So he's originally your 53, but he's technically not.
And we'll close with this. And Xander Horvath, one of the fullbacks, was waived, and they signed Caleb Ford Dement. I believe that's I say it number. They both were number 40. And so you talk about the journey. He went to Kilgore College, Old Dominion, Washington State, yep. Texas State, and then spent the offseason with the New England Patriots. So, I mean,
it's quite a lineup.
That's a line. There's a guy fighting for his job, and they will fight for those jobs for the rest of this week. Preseason game number two. My thanks, of course, to Charlie Long in the booth, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Nowak, Scott Shanley for helping us out, as well as Lance Moore. Sunday, 7 o'clock kickoff. Our coverage begins at 3 o'clock. Countdown to kickoff begins at 5 o'clock. Thanks for listening to The Saints Hour. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak from Studio 521 in Irvine, California for the last time this year. We will see you on Sunday from Santa Clara. Thanks for listening, everyone.